Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, feeling the weight of sin, needing a new start in your life, we've got robes, we've got water, hot water. There's no reason for you to leave the same way you came in. God wants to help you today, but I'm asking that somebody would open their spirit to this young preacher today. So I believe the Lord has given me direction for this service. Exodus 4, beginning at verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. He said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. I want to focus on verse 3 today. There's going to be healing in this house today. There is going to be healing in this house today. And there are going to be people, I'm going to just tell you right now, I've got to be bold with what I'm going to preach to you. Because there's some people that I'm going to have to use you as an example today. To everybody else in the building, that you can't overcome what's been done to you. You can't overcome the things that they said about you. You can't overcome the molestation. Jesus. Focus on verse 3. And he said, cast it on the ground. But I want to preach from the KJV today, the Carrie Jones version. And I would like to put it in the KJV today, verse 3. And I believe the KJV would say it this way. And he said, let it go. Let it go. Oh, Jesus. So today I'm going to preach to you from this topic. The miracle is waiting on you to release it. The miracle is waiting on you to release it. Put your Bibles down, your devices, your phones, whatever it is you may have had, and lift your hands. And I want you to open your hands to God right now. And say, God, help me to release what I need to release today. God, help me to release whatever it is, God, that you're asking me to release today. God, I give you my past. God, I give you my failures. God, I give you the things I don't understand. Come on, why don't you lift up your voice to heaven right now? With those lifted hands, why don't you lift up your voice? Why don't you lift up your head? Because that's where your help comes from. Your help comes from the Lord. If you believe God's going to do something today, why don't you clap your hands? You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The miracle is waiting on you to release it. Moses is somebody in this revival that I keep feeling the Lord impressing me to talk about. He's somebody that I feel like is very important to where this church is headed. But there has to be a season and time where we overcome things. Moses' story is very unique. It's a story that a lot of us have heard about in Sunday school class. The story of the man who would kill an Egyptian and bury him in the sand. He would have the best learning in Pharaoh's house. And God would call him when it came to a burning bush experience. I'm thankful for those visitations from God. And in this season where God would come and visit a man, it was in this visitation that Moses would, as we talked about last night, would make the visitation about himself and disqualify himself from what God was asking him to do. He would say and make this statement that I am slow of speech, or if you start studying the translation, it would literally say I have a heavy tongue. Well, the problem with that is that in Pharaoh's house, he had the best learning, the best teaching, and they taught him how to articulate. So why is it that he's telling God that he can't speak? I believe because of the things that was in his past was the reason why he kept telling God he couldn't do something. All these different issues that Moses would present to God and say, God, I can't do what you're calling me to do because this. And I can see God getting to a point of frustration. I can see God's long-suffering, God's merciful, God's kind. But I believe there comes a point in time where God says, either they're going to get it or they're not going to get it. Because God doesn't want to replace you, but he will if he has to if you won't go. So you know what I'm saying today? God, don't replace me, use me. God, it doesn't take a burning bush to get my attention. All I need is a still, small voice for you to speak to me and direct me. Yes. I can see as God starts getting a little frustrated with Moses. And he turns it around upon Moses and begins to say, who made your mouth? I made your mouth. I created you the way that I created you, Moses. Well, that wasn't good enough for Moses. And so I could see as God in our text today, that God would start asking Moses a strange question. Moses, what is that in thine hand? And Moses would respond, and if I'm going to preach to you from the KJV, I'm going to preach from the KJV today. But if I was Moses and God would ask me a silly question like that, what is that in your hand? It's just a rod. Were you able to get that rod for me? Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's just a rod. It's an inanimate object. It's something not of much value. It's something not of much worth. What does this mean to you, God? And God would make a demand, a command from him. Moses, cast the rod on the ground. Now, God, this is a little silly. This is a little silly. This is a cat and mouse game. Come on, God. What's the big deal about me letting go of this rod? And the Bible would say that he would cast it on the ground. KJV, he would let something go. And when he would let it go, I want you to go home memorizing this movement that I'm about to make right now. Hold on. He would let it go. And the rod would become a serpent. But here's the question I want to ask and propose to this church today. Maybe Moses would have never seen the rod turn into the serpent if he wasn't willing first to let something go. There are some things that you're not waiting on God for. God's waiting on you to let it go. God's waiting on you to surrender something to him. God's waiting on you to surrender something to him. But so many times we're holding on to things that God's saying, surrender to me and let it go and put it in my possession. Well, I just don't know if I can, Brother Jones. I just don't know if I can let that go. It's such an issue in my family. It's such an issue in my marriage. It's such an issue with my children. It's such an issue. And God's saying, why don't you let it go? Because if you can let it go, if you can surrender it to me, what would have happened if Moses would have said, that's silly, I just can't. Let me get down where some of you are living right now. I can't let it go because of what they said to me. I can't let it go because what somebody did to me. I can't let it go because this person left me. I can't let it go because I'm letting this bitterness. And we wonder why things aren't happening in our families the way we want it to. Because we're holding on to daddy left me. We're holding on to mama left me. We're holding on to they got a divorce. And you know what happens to children a lot of times? When parents get a divorce, the children blame themselves for the divorce. Kids are resilient. They'll get over it. And God's saying, I've got something for you, Moses. I've got greater for you, Moses. But the things you're holding on to is putting you in a spiritual prison. And you can never do what God has called you to do. Holding on to things that God has commanded you to let go of. Can't do it. Holding on to past relationships that didn't work out. Holding on to past relationships that didn't work out, and it makes you mad, and it makes you, oh God, help me right now, and it makes you frustrated every time somebody else gets married and you don't get married, because you're holding on to things that God has commanded you to let go of. And the things I'm holding on to is causing a division between me and God. You're not going to be able to be what God has called you to be, holding on to things. God's got financial blessings for a business in this building right now. Oh, yes, I don't believe it. They don't believe it. If you really believe that, somebody be on their feet clapping and receiving that right now. If you really believe that, somebody be standing on their feet and receiving that right now. But I'm going to tell you something. And God's trying to pour out financial blessings upon your business. Come on, Bubba, come on. It's tough for God to pour in because there's some things you won't open up to him. A lot of you got balled up fists. Well, this happened in the past. Well, this happened. No, forget all that. I'm saying that God's got something greater for you if you can let it go. God's got more for you if you can let it go and surrender it to him. Man, I'm feeling faith in this room right now. Come back over here. I'm feeling faith. I'm telling you, I'm feeling, oh God, this is about to be a dangerous service today. I'm just telling you right now. This is about to be a real dangerous service. But what if God wanted to bless you tenfold in your business? Hold on. But he can't trust you to pay your tithe. Well, I just don't believe in all that stuff. The Bible says that when you pay your tithes, that he will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Oh yeah, I figured I'd lose some people on that. God, I want financial blessings. I want you to give me. But you got your fist open to God. But I'm telling somebody right now, there is financial blessings in 2025 for people that will open their hand. For people that will open their hands and say, God, use me as a conduit for your glory, for your purpose, and for your kingdom. But you've got to learn to let things go. God's saying, I got so much I want to give you. But you got to open that hand. Moses, a closed fist is not going to open the heavens. But open hands open the heavens. And there's people in this building that God has so much more for you. But until, hold on, you address the past. And you let some things go. There will never be the miracle before your eyes. The rod turning into a serpent. The whole purpose of this was not to make this all about Moses, but to make Moses believe that God was behind the call. There are some supernatural things I will never partake in until I learn to let things go. Ma'am, I know you've been molested. Ma'am, I know you've been taken advantage of. I know you've been in the prison of emotions. God, I feel this right now. Your emotions are all in a whack right now. But I'm telling you, God has a husband for you. There should have been somebody receive that right now. There's going to be a husband for you that'll take care of you. But it's tough for you to receive love. It's tough for you to receive love based off all the past relationships. And God saying, I've got a better man for you. But you've got to learn to let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Well, Brother Jones, I loved him. I'm not saying that you didn't love him. I'm not saying he didn't love you. But I'm telling you, some of you can never become what God has for you because you're trapped in past relationships. Are aborted because you won't let things go. How many miracles are waiting to happen this morning? This morning. Not next week, not 2 years from now, this morning. That's saying if a family will let things go. If a family will reconcile, if a family will submit to God, if families will submit to the man of God. So that means to tell me that the miracle isn't waiting on God. The miracle is waiting on. Somebody came in this building needing God to fix your family. And you're saying, okay, God. And God's saying, all right. The first thing you got to do is listen to that young preacher. And you got to learn to let some things go. I just don't know if I can. I don't know if I can surrender. I don't know if I can submit. I don't know if I can trust again. I've been hurt. Let it go. Here's my question. How many things, how many supernatural things are aborted because we hold on to things way too long? How many supernatural God encounters are we aborting because we say, oh, no, 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 not my marriage, not my business. But you know what? This wasn't about Moses. It was about the people that were in bondage. And when we won't let things go, listen to me. If we won't let things go, who's affected? Not only is it you, but what about the millions in bondage? A miracle can be aborted by one movement of refusing to let things go. You say, Brother Jones, I just don't believe that. Oh, I'll prove it to you. I'll prove it to you. You be seated, stand, do whatever you want to. I take you today to a story where there are 5,000 plus people needing food. And the disciples would make the statement, just send them back to town. Let them get their own victuals. Let them feed for them. Let them tend for themselves. And Jesus would say, no, you feed them. It's the responsibility of God's followers to feed the hungry. And he makes a statement. You feed them. And Philip would be like, we ain't got it, Jesus. We ain't got the money for it. We ain't got enough money for it. And Jesus said, just go find somebody. This is what I believe. I believe that there were people in the crowd that had food. You got something? I ain't going to even mess with you. I've tried this before. We ain't messing with you. You have something. You got something to offer me, Jesus. You got something to offer, Jesus. You got something to give God. You got something to give God. And all the adults are saying, you got something to give God. You got something to offer. Yeah, you ain't falling asleep in this sermon. And there was a little lad. Here's my question. What was the name of the little lad? Huh? Oh, surely the Bible would give kudos to a little lad with such faith. No name, nobody. I don't need a name to work for God. I don't need the spotlight on me to do a work for God. No name, nobody. It's just a little lad who had 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. My favorite lunch. Oh, it's so good. You know what? Come on, you're going to walk with me. I'm going to wake you up today. 5 barley loaves was the cheapest bread you could get. Not much value. I don't know who prepared the lunch for the little lad. Maybe it was mommy. Maybe mommy was at work that day and daddy packed the lunch. I don't know who packed it. But the little lad could have said, this is my lunch. Forget all of y'all. The little lad could have said, this is all I have to eat. Y'all just going to have to suffer. But the little lad had an understanding that some of us adults struggle with. God help me. That if the 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes will eventually become 12 baskets full, that little lad had to let something go in order for it to become something great. That little lad had a revelation that some of us adults struggle with in 2025. Let it go. Miracle never changes. The miracle never changes until the lad submits. Hold up. Oh, my word. This just came to me. Oh. So in order for 5 barley, God, you're so cool. In order for 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes to become 12 baskets full, somebody invested. Somebody paid for that 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. There was investment that was given. That's for all the people that just want to show up and receive, receive, receive. Oh yeah, I'm winning friends and influencing people right now. That's want to show up and just receive off of everybody's sacrifice. Oh, that 2 days of fast is too much, Pastor. I can't do that. And we want to receive the benefits of everybody else's sacrifice. Ooh, I feel a shift right now. We want to receive the benefits of somebody else's prayer life. And we're never investing ourselves. You and your wife, you do all the work. You teach all the, and I'll just show up right at service time, get my hookah mashai on. I cry my tears, but I haven't invested anything. And then you wonder why your return is nothing. Oh, I know I'm making sense. Some people ain't liking what I'm preaching right now. But I'm trying to help a frustrated person that you've done the same old And if you keep doing the same thing in 2025, you're going to get the same results as you're going to keep going back to the addiction because you haven't invested anything. Where's your investment? What did you invest? How much did you pray today? How much did you fast last week? What did you invest? Well, I showed up. That's investment enough. I'm glad Jesus didn't have that attitude when he showed up to the earth. Well, I manifested in the flesh. That should be good enough. No, it's not going to work that way. But even Jesus, God, this is all coming to me right now. Even God manifested in the flesh would invest and give. What did he give? He gave his life. And if I'm going to be more like Jesus, I must be willing to give of myself. I must be willing to invest myself. Okay, Sister Pastor, if there's no investment, there will be no return. I feel a word for a family right now. It's okay. All right. Don't expect your kids to invest when you don't. I want my kid to be a Christian, but I never show up to church. I never show up to prayer. It's not going to work that way, Daddy. You want to know how you're going to teach Billy Bob how to pray? Is you get on your knees and you show Billy Bob how to pray. You show Billy Bob how to dance. You show him. You be the example. Because I'm investing. You shouldn't have told me you were sleepy. Never again. Come on, Jesus. Help us to get childlike faith. Amen. That maybe when I invest into what God's asking me to invest in, I bet that little lad had no clue of what was about to happen. He just heard the stories. And he's a miracle worker. And he's able to do exceedingly. But he needs something to work with. He's looking to invest, but he's looking for somebody to give the little they have. What is my life, God? Why do you keep calling my family? Why do you keep calling me? Why do you keep pulling me to that Austin church? Why? Because there's something God wants to do through your life, but he's waiting for you to invest it into the kingdom. It's not that much. I don't have that much to offer. Thanks. I won't call you again. Maybe. Little is much when God is in it. When I can trust the little that I have and believe that he can take it and make something great out of it. But little lad, you never see the miracle of what you thought was so little become more than enough until you're willing to let things go. Amen. The miracle is waiting on some of you. Let's ask a question right now. I like crowd participation. How many of you got families you need God to bring back together? Raise your hand. Raise it high. Don't be ashamed. Visitors, guests, whatever. Been here 20 years. Oh, my word. So this is the message for the hour right now. What if today, I'm just stretching my faith. What if today, whatever God's telling you to let go of, bitterness, anger, hatred, past relationships, whatever you're holding on to, What if you let it go today and did what you could do? What could God do in the next 30 days if you let something go? And I'm not talking about let it go in a service and pick it back up tomorrow. I'm talking about letting it go and saying, okay, God, it's yours. The emotions. Who's affected if the lad doesn't give up his lunch? Everybody. But who else is affected? What that lad could see. I'm telling you, some of you, your families are in such a wreck right now because you're holding on to things that God's commanding you to let go of. I don't know why I feel like God's been directing me the first few weeks. My wife will be here next week, and hopefully she'll keep me in line. But you know why I feel like God's been directing me the last few weeks to focus on families? Because you can't have a strong church if you don't have strong families. I'm not going to go into detail, but last night I texted my wife at 3:30 this morning. God gave me three dreams in consecutive about this church last night. It's early this morning. Three dreams. I don't know if God's going to release me to tell the dreams, but I'm going to tell you, God's eyes on this church. And God's trying to strengthen. God's trying to bring back. But some of you are so... I'm going to say what the KJV, King James Version says. Stiff-necked people. Refuse to change. Expecting a different result. And God's talking to a man right now that if you hear this preacher, he can turn your family around this year. This year. This year. Brother Jones, maybe when my wife does it first. I'm talking to men right now. When you lead as the priest of your home and say, today's the day I'm going to let it go. I promise you, as a man and as a leader of your home, your family's going to follow you, Daddy. But I can't let it go. All right? Abort the miraculous if you want to. I'm not interested in that. I want to see everything God has for me. Piano player, come. I'm just a piano player for just right now. I'm done. I'm drawing to a close. I'm going to tell you this. There's some things that you affect others when you won't let things go. Moses, there's millions of people that will be affected if you don't let it go. Little lad, there's thousands that will be affected if you don't let it go. God could pick somebody else to use, but I'm going to bring up a story right now that the only person that could be affected is the one that's holding on to the thing. I take you to a dark place. I take you to a storm. I take you to the middle of the sea where the Bible says that the boat was tossed with waves and the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus would come unto them walking on the sea. But Peter would make the statement, Jesus, if it's really you, bid me to come out there. And Jesus would say, come on. Mark chapter 6 gives us a more detailed view of this story. The Bible says that they were toiling in rowing, which means when Jesus showed up, there was an oar in their hand. And if I'm going to experience walking on the water like Jesus is, Peter now has a choice to make. Do I keep rowing and doing it my own way? That's a word for somebody right now. Do I keep rowing and doing it my own way and not going anywhere? The Bible says that in that story that they had been rowing for hours. And they weren't going anywhere. Doing it my own way. Or I could submit to the call and let something go. Peter, you have a choice. Do you keep rowing and not go anywhere and doing it your own way? Or do you let the oar go and step out of the boat and do what no other disciple is doing? I'm going to walk on water with the master. But the prerequisite of the miracle is waiting on you. I wonder how long it took Peter to respond to Jesus telling him to come. Maybe all the voices in the boat were saying, you'd be real crazy to do that. Don't you see what we're in the middle of right now, Peter? But if I don't let go, what do I forfeit? What could these eyes see that I will not see until I let things go? I'm not willing to live underneath what God has for me because I'm holding on to things when I should be letting go. I'll tell you what God has for this church today. God has healing. You know what? People get excited when we hear about healing because we're like, oh, God's going to heal my body. That's not exactly what I was talking about. I was talking about emotional healing. Yeah. Emotional healing. Some of you, it's so hard for you to trust people because family turned their back on you. And every time the presence of God, come help me. You right there. Come help me. Yeah, you. But I know what some of you are doing in the spirit right now. This is what you're doing in the spirit. When I was younger, me and my dad wrestled all the time. All the time. And he teach me how to fight. And he said, if you're going to be successful in fighting, you got to focus on one area. And focus on it. Just hit it, hit it, hit it. And so I'm punching him. He's punching me. And I'm punching him. He's punching me. He's not punching me hard. Don't now. Y'all get crazy. Well, I mean, he started focusing on my shoulder. Tearing it up, tearing it up, tearing it up. Well, the next day, it's church. And we wrestled late on a Saturday night. And so I woke up from my bed and I couldn't lift my arm. I was doing like this. And my mom noticed as she's walking in my room, I was trying to put my shirt on. And I can't lift my arm. And she said, pull your shirt down. And I went, no, Mom. Because I didn't want her to know that we had been wrestling so hard. And she saw how bruised it was. From right here up, it was all bruised. And she said, where's your daddy? I'm going to get him. And so my mom's a nurse, and so the way that she, that just that nurse coming out of her, and she goes to her room, she starts getting ointment to heal the wound. And every time my mom would get closer. Because it was a sensitive area. And the only way there's going to be healing is if you let the physician touch it. But it hurts too bad. I know, I'm not saying it doesn't hurt, but there is no healing if you won't let the physician touch it. It's not going to be healed. And that's what some of you are doing right now. Oh, it hurts too bad. It's too soon, Brother Jonathan, for me to talk about it. It's only been 6 months. It's only been 6 months. It's too soon. And God's saying, let it go. Let it go. Tonight, today's going to be a little weird. I'm going to tell you right now. It's going to be a little different. But if there's going to be healing, we've got to be honest. And we've got to be willing to do whatever it is God's calling us to do. Listen to me. I want everybody's undivided attention. Everybody's undivided attention. Tennessee. I was preaching. Ooh, I feel a mandate from God. I feel something shifting right now. I feel something shifting right now. I feel like revelation just hit somebody. That the reason why I'm in this is because I won't let things go. It's me. I was in a revival in Tennessee, the youth meeting. Thank God for all the doors that he's opened. I'm telling you, I don't want to just preach messages. I want to get a word from the Lord. I want to hear from God. I want to hear from God. As I'm preparing, Friday night, Saturday, my wife was with me. We didn't have kids at the time. God gave me the direction for the first few services. The Sunday night, I had no clue where I was going to go. You know, usually when you end something, you got to end high. You got to shout, dance, all that stuff. Well, I don't fit into a box. Whatever God wants to do, that's the box I want to fit in. So, last night, I'm in the hotel room getting ready. I'll never forget the color of the seat. I'll never forget the wallpaper on the walls as I lifted my head after God told me what I was going to do for that service. I said, oh, you're joking. Oh, you're kidding. God said, you're going to go in tonight and you're going to preach about rape. I said, you're joking. You're kidding. This is a joke. I said, God, this is a youth conference. He said, do what I tell you to do. What do you do when God says that? You do what God tells you to do. I started preaching about God being able to heal the things that we don't think God can heal. And God being able to touch and God answering the questions of why. There are people in this building that have those questions. Why did it have to happen to me? Why did it have to happen to my mom? Why did it have to happen to my parents? Why? If you've ever asked the question why, you're in good company, because even Jesus himself asked the question, why? But he never allowed the question marks to interfere with his mission. So I get in there and start preaching. Kids are falling asleep. And I'm thinking, God, I know what I heard. I know you spoke to me in that hotel room. And as the end of the service goes on, I look in the back. I notice there was a lady sitting in the back that was tears rolling down her cheek. I said, oh man, maybe she's praying for somebody else that's not here. I don't know. I called the altar call. Nobody moves. How about that for a young preacher? Preach and nobody responds. You say, yep, I missed it. I lost it. I know it's a sensitive topic. Not talking about rape. I know. Molestation. I know it's a sensitive. I know. I tried to tell God. And he said, do it anyways. Sensitive. And then, man, I will never forget this as long as I live. I will never forget this. You know what pushes me to pray? It's the services where God will leave the 99. Go after the one. Hold on. You want to know why? Because there are services that God pushes out. And he says, this particular service, I want to minister to the few. I'll never forget this. Everybody's starting to talk. Service is basically over. And there's an elderly man that starts walking towards the platform. He's got tears in his eyes. Thought he was coming to reprimand me. Thought he was coming to tell me what I needed to work on. I'm sitting there on the platform with my head and my shirt and just, oh God, just in my feelings. As man came up and he said, "Brother Jones, I've got a message for you." I sit up, I acknowledge him. Tears were running down his cheek. I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I've come on the behalf of my wife." I said, "Yes, sir. Do we need to pray for her?" He said, "No, she wanted me to come tell you something. She said she's 60-something years old. And when she was 9, she was molested by a man in her family. And now I'm putting the dots together. This is a youth conference." God said, "I know exactly who's going to be there." It was the first service that lady walked in for that conference. She said, "Tell that young preacher, I've been to camps. I've been to conferences. I've been to general conference. I've been to all the places." She said, "I felt the Holy Ghost." She said, "Tell that young preacher, I never felt the Holy Ghost as strong as when I let it go." Hold on. 50 plus years of something she didn't deserve. Something that somebody else took advantage of her. And she would say, "God, but it's how she got over it." She didn't come to the altar, but she'd do this number. She'd get up from her pew. She would lift her feeble hands and her arms. And she would do this number right here. That may not mean nothing to you. On the inside of her, something was screaming, "I've got to get out of this prison. And the way I get out is I let it go. The way I get out, I got to let it go." Some of you, this service is very pivotal because it could be the entrance and the doorway to your ministry. You'll never get it. I need one of you guys to help me. One of you guys, don't matter who, just one of you. You stand out here with that rod. The only way you're going to get out of this is you're intentional. Come out here. And you say, "God, I'm ready to let it go. I'm ready." Now, I told you today's going to be a little different. I'm not apologizing for what I'm about to do. Where's that lady at I spoke to last night? Where's she at? One at, I think, is it? Yeah. Lost. Come here. Yeah, you come here. Is the same one? Okay. Now, we're not doing this to try to figure out what's going on. It's none of anybody's business. But I felt this very specifically for you today. That when you let this rod go, okay, I believe there's going to be an entrance and a stepping into something today. A stepping into something today. Because when I learn to surrender it to God, you don't know what he's going to touch. You don't know what he's going to multiply. You don't know what he's going to use. But what at first, the prerequisite is I've got to let it go. Give it to him. Okay? Now what we're doing, now I know some of you are like, "Man, this is stupid. Got a rod up there, you're going to let it go? Wow, that's cool." What we do in the physical is a representation of what's happening in the spiritual. And some of us have to say, "Okay, God, I need a new start. I need something to shift in me. And it's only going to happen when some of you say, okay, I'm letting it go. This is what we're going to do, sis. Look at me. I want you to look at me. Sister Pat, come on up here. You're going to help right now. This is what's going to happen. When you let that rod go, look at me, sis. When you let that rod go, I feel like there's a fresh anointing coming to you. Something's going to be revived in you. And I believe the reason why, there's a reason why I felt to use her first, is because she's a key to where this church is going. All right. So this is what you're going to do, sis. We're going to count to three, and I want you to let it go. And whatever you feel, once you lift your hands and you open those hands to heaven, I want you to let it out, whatever you feel, okay? I don't care if it's a cry. I don't care if it's a groan. Whatever it is, I want you to let it go. I want everybody to extend your hands up here right now. Extend your hands. This ain't for show. Just extend your hands and close your eyes. Come on, church, pray. This ain't for show. Come on, pray. Come on. A fresh anointing, God. A fresh anointing, God. Come on, this could be a new start for some of you today. God can do the same thing that he's doing through her to you today, but you first got to let something go. Some of you looking and saying, why is she doing that? Because you don't know what she had to let go in the moment in time. It could have been something in her past. It could have been something 20. I don't know what it is, but God is healing. God is mending. God is bringing back together. But you gotta let it go.